Welcome to Health Media Now with award-winning author and host Denise Messenger for a lifetime of health empowerment. Live by being in the pink, meaning P stands for being persistent, I stands for using your intuition, N stands for networking, and K stands for obtaining knowledge. Our guests entertain and share cutting-edge information. They share with you what may have taken years to achieve through experience in their field. Become inspired and motivated. Reach your full potential with fascinating tips and products. Receive a lifetime of benefits from authors, doctors, practitioners, healthcare providers, and learn about exciting new products. You asked for it, and we deliver. Now, here's your host, Denise Messenger.
Welcome, everyone, to Health Media Now. It's November 4th, 2020. Great show today. We have with us Michael Collins, and we're going to be talking about sugar addiction, and is it ever? I have to admit I go through it at times myself where I actually have to say, okay, no more. Mm. And then, you know, I walk away from it. So a little background on Michael. 30 years ago, he struggled with drug addiction. And when he decided to get help, he discovered that people could use sugar, which is really interesting, as a means to cope with the withdrawals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that particular sweet substance, it can be a gateway to a drug in itself. He's the founder of sugaraddiction.com and also Quit Sugar Summit. He's also the board chairman of Food Addiction Institute. And he himself has been sugar-free for 30 years. Congratulations.
That is Thank you.
Huge accomplishment. Big accomplishment. And we'll be talking about his book or books today, depending upon which one he wants to get into. So welcome, Michael. We're so glad you're here.
Well, thanks for having me. It's an honor. I really appreciate it. Yep.
Well, I always start out asking my guests how they got on the path that they're on today, but we've already kind of answered that that big question.
Well, I think your folks might want to know the little depth of the question in some way, but I think I grew up just like everyone else. You know, my mom was a sugar junkie. Her mom died when she was 8 years old, and they made this arrangement. They owned the country store across the way, and anytime she went in, she could get candy for free, and it was a great thing. But, you know, it really ingrained a habit that she just never could get out of, and there were just so many physical maladies that she had from it. It was just kind of, I mean, there's like 5 or 7 of them, maybe 10, I don't know. It was just weight gain and, you know, different. And in the end, it was Alzheimer's, which they're now, you know, calling diabetes 3. And so I kind of, you know, then I went down a rabbit hole of sugar, of alcohol and drug addiction. But honestly, my first struggle, there's a great video on YouTube on Eric Clapton. He says, and Ed Bradley from 60 Minutes. Now, they're sitting in a $7 million Antigua treatment center, right? And Ed Bradley says, so, Eric, this addiction thing, it all started with heroin, right? And Eric Clapton goes, no, Ed, it started with sugar. Here's Eric Clapton, the famous guitarist, saying, I used to eat bread and butter sandwiches when I was a kid, anything that would change my state. And we used to eat bread and butter sandwiches, you know, bread and butter and sugar sandwiches, right? So you just sprinkle the sugar on the bread and butter. Anyway, you know, fast forward, right? So I got sober at 28. I mean, I went in for the big party, but I really believe sugar was the original gateway drug. I realized it was changing my state, and I couldn't really tell back then, but I knew alcohol changed my state. I could talk to girls and what have you. So I just, you know, I went to a few of those meetings, and man, it was everybody, sugar, nicotine, caffeine. It was just a smoky kind of smorgasbord of other stuff, and I was a little bit of a trying to be a healthy guy or a health nut, and started to gain weight real fast, and you know, I didn't eat anything but pizza, pasta, ice cream, you know, whatever. And so I did a little research, you know, and like you say, about 30 plus years ago, I know because my kids are twins, they're 31, they've never had sugar in their life. So, or they didn't, excuse me, when they were young. They have since, but, you know, when they were young. So it's over 30 years ago now that I quit sugar and started to do this research. But I had a regular life. I had a regular business, job, career. Everything was the normal. But my kids always used to say, Dad, you should write a book about sugar. And so about 10 years ago, I picked up the domain and I started doing this work, and basically I've been doing it ever since and full time for the last 4 years, three, 4 years. So that's the short version. That's the radio version.
Big passion.
Yeah. It's something I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, sugar's in everything. It's just in everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know
raised
your twins without it.
Well, the funny part is if they never had it, they don't know what it is. You know, when you ever see the kids in the grocery store where they're screaming at the top of their lungs inside the basket trying to get to the candy. And my kids used to build it with blocks. They had no idea what it was. They really didn't. It was kind of funny. They would just kind of start playing with the colored blocks, you know.
Yeah, but they knew fructose from fruit.
Yeah, back then they did fruit, and so they knew sweet, you know, but they just didn't know the candy, the ice cream, the cake.
Yeah. Cookies, all of that.
Cookies, yeah. It just wasn't in the house.
It.
Yeah, fruit juices. They didn't know any of that stuff, so.
Yeah, I remember as a child, I was punished for an entire summer. I couldn't have any sweets at all. I don't actually remember what it was I did, but whatever.
You survived, right?
I did. Although I remember my dad actually snuck me something at a birthday party. I mean, that was a little too much to take me to somebody's birthday party where I couldn't have anything. You know.
Well, that's where we caved. That's basically, I remember it like it was yesterday. We were at a roller skating rink, you know, for the umpteenth time at another kid's birthday party. And the cake and ice cream came out, and both of them, they're twins, they craned their head looking at me like as to say, Dad, can I this time, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I just caved in. And for that time period, from six to about, you know, when they got out of the house, we never had it at the house, but they had it, you know, outside birthday parties and what have you. So.
Sure.
I think we had to loosen up a little or they'd rebel, right? Isn't that what they say? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where did humanity start with sugar? I'm sure you must know the history of it.
You're asking my favorite question there. This is like the history of what we, you know, I always figure if you got to know how we got in this mess, you want to study how you get out of this mess, you want to study how we got in this mess, right?
Uh-huh.
And so back in the day, you know, it originated in Southeast Asia and India and stuff, and it was really difficult to process back then with no machinery and everything. So it was really a treat for kings and queens, basically. It was very little. It was like a spice or a condiment, you know, and very few people had it. And so that went on for, you know, till the 16th century. There was few people that were wealthy enough then to get a large supply. But then, you know, basically the whole thing started in earnest during the slave trade in the 1600s. The empty boats would leave England, go to Africa, pick up slaves, go to the Caribbean and South America and in the southern United States, and pick up rum and molasses and sugar. And then they would go back to England. And it grew the largest empire in the world at that time, bigger than El Chapo ever dreamed of. You know, I mean, they started annexing countries all over the world. They just grew into a financial powerhouse on the backs of slavery and sugar, right? And so we went from 5 pounds a year to 150 pounds a year in about a 200 or 300 year period. And the body really just was never meant to eat this much sugar. It's just not something. Like, if you think about it, the fruit stuff, even the fructose, you know, there's no bodily function that requires fructose. And there's no fructose in nature that's poison. So we're attracted to it, but we're attracted only to the ones that are, you know, seasonally, like once a year we would get it. Or if you wanted to risk getting stung, you would get some, you know, in a beehive.
Yeah, that's very true. And that, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, it grows on the trees for a certain period of time, or the vines, or so it's not year-round.
Yeah, and a baby is attracted to it because mother's milk is sweet. And so, but, you know, this is a toxic drug. At this point, the process, think of the processing it goes through. It's a white, granular, powdered substance that, you know, if you're having 5 pounds a year, no big deal. But when you're doing, the average person does 20 teaspoons a day. And if you're overweight or, you know, you got a sweet tooth, you're doing 30, 40 teaspoons a day. And the dose makes the poison. You know, you're just never clear of this product. And look, the science is very clear now. I mean, from the physical body, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, even Alzheimer's. I mean, it's coming into focus that this is the cause of a lot of these things. And, you know, we focus on the mental part, which is, I believe, the other side of the molecule, the fructose side of the molecule for your listeners. You know, the sugar molecule is half fructose and half glucose. But the fructose affects your brain. It affects your nucleus accumbens, your brain reward system, serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, GABA, even your adrenals, right? And so, you know, we're in the middle of the beginning of a tectonic societal shift, like bathroom, like condoms in bathrooms, drinking and driving, smoking in public places, you know, that kind of thing, seatbelts in cars. Where the science says, hey, this isn't working societally anymore. And now we're just at the beginning of that process to change it. And, you know, a lot of people aren't on board yet. And a lot of people are suffering. You know, just spend 5 minutes in my inbox, you'd know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Really. 200 and 300 pounds overweight, losing limbs, going blind, and they still can't quit. Doctor said, you're going to die. You're going to die, diabetes, you're going to get another leg amputated, and they still call me like, I can't put this stuff down. So if that's not addiction, you know, I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Yeah,
it's not
I
funny,
know.
But you understand what I'm saying.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the connection between the sugar and the Alzheimer's, because I have a friend who's you know, been overweight forever, and I found out that sugar is in the diet on a daily basis, you know, morning cereal full of sugar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lunch,
mm-hmm.
You know. The refrigerator is just all fruits, no vegetables, ice creams. And, you know, the dementia has set in. So, you know, I recommended that stuff be cut back, and that protein was really important at this point.
Right.
And there's actually been some improvement. There has been some improvement in the functioning of the brain.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, that's one of the things people, we got a saying around our little groups, you know, we come for the vanity and we stay for the sanity. Because, you know, people come for weight loss. That's really the number one thing they want, is weight loss, if they think. But then they realize their brain fog clears up. I'll tell you a sad story. My mom, as I said, was a sugar junkie, but and she was a brilliant woman, brilliant, you know, and advanced, you know, very successful career and everything. Back when, you know, women's careers were not that big, you know, weren't that popular. So anyway, when she started to get Alzheimer's, the same story as your friend. Like, there was no filter, and she wouldn't and could. We would have to struggle to get her to eat real food. The only thing she wanted was sugar products. She was just like, you know, that was what the physical draw was. There was no desire for any kind of, like you say, protein or any kind of healthy foods. It was just sugar. And, you know, and there was enough people around, you know, nieces and nephews and everybody to spoil her for it, but, you know. Yeah, it's kind of sad to watch up close. It really is.
It's tough. So what do you recommend to your clients, et cetera, on how to get out of the sugar addiction mode?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. And it's, you know, when I first started this, it was kind of part-time, but I paid people and I got the best information on the planet, most up-to-date information on sugaraddiction.com. And I would put it out for free. And I would help, you know, people, anybody that talked to me, I would tell them about it. Well, that just, I mean, we went on for 5 or 6 years and nothing really happened. I mean, a few people would get off the sugar and whatever. They just read the information. But you can research this information online anywhere. You can get the information. It's all out there. And what we found about 3 or 4 years ago is that we had to create a vessel. We had to create a community. We had to create a structure where people could have community and connection, because we're still the early adopters. We're still, I call them, the canaries in the coal mine. We're the people who are, you know, we understand it and we want to do something about it, but we live in a society that is just soaked in sugar for every holiday from birth to death and everything in between. So the connectivity that we created, which was forums, Facebook groups, Zoom meetings daily, all of these kind of vessels that people can, you know, talk about this, you know, because a lot of times the spouse is not on board, the family's not on board, it's a mom, she's got to cook for the kids, got to, yeah, you know, cook for all that kind of stuff. So the answer to the question really is the opposite of addiction is connection. It's, you know, it's a community. It's belonging to something bigger than yourself, especially in this day and age when we're really early adopters. We're new. The society is new to this idea. And look, you say you quit drinking, they'll say, oh, that's good. You quit smoking, oh, great job. You say you're quitting sugar, and they're like, what the heck? You know, why? You know, have a cookie. It's only one. You know, you don't get that much support. So, and, you know, I guess they don't extrapolate it out. They don't take it to the next level. And because sugar, you can have it 20, 30 years. You gain a couple pounds a year. You don't get your diabetes diagnosis for 20 or 30 years. You think it's not a big deal. But at the end of the day, you know, we know when people reach their 40s and 50s and 60s, it starts to show up big time. So, anyway, that's the short version. Again, I have these condensed radio versions that I can tell folks to, you know, if they're willing. People ask me, what's my business model? I say, I sort for people that are ready. Because if you're not ready to do this, there's no sense, you know, we can't carry you there. You've got to be ready. You've got to realize that you've got to have done some of your own research and think that, you know, sugar's a problem in your diet and in your health. Pursuits of health, you know.
True.
So,
well, yeah. It's interesting because you take a similar approach that alcoholics when they go to their AA meetings.
Exactly.
Or the drug addicted people that go to their, I don't know what those are called, but
Narcotics Anonymous.
Uh-huh. It's kind of all the same.
It's all the same. And it's really the only thing that's proven to work. It's peer recovery, peer-to-peer recovery. And, you know, it's funny that the COVID thing has really accelerated all functions of online meetings. And so, and that's exactly
true.
What happened to us. And, you know, the underlying stuff with COVID has been diabetes, weight, heavy weight, you know, those metabolic syndrome kind of stuff. And the sugar sales are way up. People are, you know, drinking a lot more, smoking a lot more.
Oh, that's
you know,
true.
Taking other drugs.
That's so true.
Right? Well, the sugar
yes.
and the baking, you know, it was like, yeah, we ran out of toilet paper, but did you check the flour and the sugar aisles? There was none of that at the beginning either, so... because people were just buying up their supplies. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to be the anti-candy man. You know, it really is. It's not a job that is that fun. It's kind of, I imagine it's kind of like a dentist who has to give the bad news. But I can't hide it. You know, the kids are the worst part. It hurts my heart to watch an obese child because, you know, kids can be mean. And if you grow up that way and you're using this product for, you know, to be just to feel a little bit better about yourself for a little bit of time, then, you know, it leads to a lifetime of pain and misery. So that's why we do this, what we do. So.
Well, what do you recommend to people, you know, getting off sugar? Because it's you know, like we talked about before we went on the air, it's in everything.
Mm. Yeah, there's that. there's an eternal vigilance necessary, really, genuinely. The abstinence part of this, at least we call it at the beginning, I call it the gift of 90 days, the gift of 30 days. We have this little system where we give bronze medals for 30, silver medals for 60, and a gold medal for 90 days. And the reason we do that is because we're just looking to see, I call it adulting, right? I say, look, you would, you know, do what a doctor told you. You would do, like, if somebody told you you couldn't have steak for, you know, 30 days or 90 days, you'd do it. You wouldn't like it. You know, it'd be hard, but you wouldn't do it. You would do it. But when they say sugar, there's some, you know, there that physical and mental and emotional crutch that need to have it comes rearing its ugly head. So we just ask them to try it, you know, to try abstinence for that 30, 60, 90, and then you make the decision. You make a decision if that's something that you want to do. Most of our folks will get off of it, and then their consumption will be way down, and they'll have something on their birthday and something at the holidays. But after a while, if you know, we have a body that's clean and clear of the stuff. Your skin clears up, you're sleeping better, you know, your brain fog is lifted. And obviously, weight loss is hard to hide. You can't really, you know, it's just, and, you know, there's so many benefits that most people don't want to risk it. And what happens, we call these folks retreads, and in a loving kind of way, they, you know, they go out and they experiment, right? They'll have 90 days, they'll lose 30 pounds. They'll, you know, their skin will look better. They're doing better with their brain and everything. And then they'll disappear for a while. And then they'll come back and they'll explain that they were out doing research and development, that they gained 20 more pounds back. And so most everyone who tries this adulting thing where they just do it for 30 or 60 or 90 days, their decision usually is to stay off it for a, you know, for a while and see if they can heal up. So we don't, like, it's not a boot camp or anything. There's no rules, but we try and make them aware by actually physically having an experience with the product or without the product to see what happens. So that's
good
plan. That's the short version.
So what happens if, you know, you go off sugar and then you have to go, well, social events these days are not very large.
Right.
You know, what do you do to keep yourself from that temptation of those goodies that they serve or have around?
You're asking absolutely all the right questions. And these are exactly the same questions that I get all the time. And we have four modules to our core lessons, if you will, and one of them is exactly this training you need to be social again, both with your family and with your workmates or schoolmates or whatever, and out in the world. And it's hard, there's no doubt about it, because as I mentioned before, people are just not up to speed on this, and they, you know, so we've got a lot of tips and tricks. We've got restaurant chef cards that you hand the servers and the chefs. We've got little tips that, you know, what to eat before a party, bring dishes. I mean, all kind of little stuff, especially the holidays. We're instituting a buddy system this year. We fell down a little at Halloween, but we realized was we had so many relapses and folks struggled over Halloween that for Thanksgiving, we decided we're going to have a buddy system. Now, it's part of the process, and it's not that bad, because almost everyone goes in and out back and forth a little bit at the beginning, right? It takes a little bit of time. This is a big shift in their culture, their, you know, their interaction, as you're saying, with others, and in their own life. So it does take a little bit of time before people get to the other side and make a decision that, you know, they'll try and make a year. And we've got plenty of people with a year and 2 years and 3 years, and they've lost and fallen to a right-sized body. And, you know, literally I've gotten people off of every kind of medicine you can think of, from diabetes. We've had people go into remission from diabetes. We've had people get off all SSRIs. It just is very, very common now. But it does take, and like I said before, kind of an internal vigilance at the beginning to get yourself that 30, 60, 90 days off of the stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I found what works for me is if I am out in a social situation and, you know, we're having a meal and then dessert is ordered.
Right. Right.
The pressure there is just really big time. So
oh, I understand.
I'll just take
sure.
a spoon and I'll just have a taste. That's it. And then I'll just tell everybody,
sure.
you know, I went off sugar, so I'm just having a taste.
Perfect. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. And the people and the pushers come out, you know. But I do, I like to remind folks that after a while, like, again, weight loss is hard to hide. People become your champion. They start to tell their friends and the people around you, no, she doesn't have sugar, you know, and they're your best, you know, cheerleaders or what have you. And so, and after a while too, you start to realize this is like a social training of sorts. It's really weird. But what happens is you start to realize that people don't care. They really genuinely don't care. There's a few kind of a keto kind of deflection moves that you can just deflect the, you know, the sugar pushers and the strange questions, and you do it kind of firmly, but always with a good sense of humor, and you know people never ask a second time, and it takes a while because at the beginning you're craving it anyway, so you're easy to push over. But then after a while, you know, you're more confident and you can say, no thanks. I gave up sugar for this week or this month, or the doctor said I can't. You know,
uh-huh.
Some people tell a little white lie or whatever. You know. So, yeah, so it can be done, and it's not impossible. It's just it takes a little bit of focused energy.
I've always wondered what would be a sugar withdrawal? What kind of a symptom would someone have?
Yeah, that's a big one. And people are shocked. You know, they really are. So here's it's kind of a trajectory, if you will. And we've done so many sugar detoxes that it falls within about the same days that I'm about to describe for you, for almost everyone. Unless your habit is really severe, you're a couple hundred pounds overweight, your mother was into sugar and she was overweight, and so as a baby and even in the womb, and you've been an overweight baby. I mean, we have a pandemic of overweight 6 months old, right? So it's very plausible. But the withdrawals are in the first few days. The first day is a grace day. It's weird. Nothing happens. You're like, wow, I can do this. Then about the second day, you start to get these headaches. And it also, you know, we ask people to get off of caffeine too if they can, because it raises blood sugar and they're always used together a lot. It's not required, but it does help. And so about the second or third day, you have these massive pounding headaches and you're starving all the time, like literally round the clock for almost 2 or 3 weeks. You're just always hungry. And it's because you're used to eating not so nutrient dense food, but a lot of it, pasta and pizza and that kind of stuff, bread. And so you're hungry all the time. It feels like you're hungry, which is more of an indication that your food system, your stomach and your mouth have been hijacked by this drug, right? And as you keep progressing past days 7 and 8, one of the things that is the most difficult for people to get beyond is that they are a slightly depressed, okay? They're blue, they're down. And here's the reason, because we have been manually manipulating our dopamine receptor, our nucleus accumbens, our norepinephrine, our GABA, our serotonin, with a drug, and it's literally scientific proof It's called downregulated. The neurotransmitters are downregulated. They're thinned out. There's less of them. So you need the sugar to get a jolt, not to feel better, but to just get back to even when you're using the stuff. So when you stop, you are literally, you don't have any system, with the exception of exercise, to help that healing progress. And so sometimes, especially if you had a heavy caffeine habit, because it affects the same stuff, it takes, you know, literally weeks of this kind of depressed feeling, like the world's going to end, impending doom. It really models a mild depression. Yeah, it models a mild depression. And like I said, we've done hundreds of these, thousands online, but hundreds in person of these withdrawals, and the same, pretty much for a lot of people, the same thing happens. So we just beg them to try, and we can't diagnose, obviously, but, you know, that there's nothing probably physically wrong with you, and just give it 30 days and you'll start to recover. The sun will start to come out again and shine, and you'll feel much better. And try and get at least some walking in, that much exercise. Hydrate well. Drink. Get some electrolytes, which is just as simple as some salt and some water. And try and just get through the first 30 days with the blue feelings. And then at the other side, it's almost like another world. Really, people have said things like, "I never knew I could feel this good," and they're not controlled by that need to ingest something just to get through a situation or whatever. So, yeah, no, the reason that I think, because sugar is so ubiquitous and, you know, damn near free, you never really get a chance, unless there's a focused energy with another group of people, you never get a chance to see what life can be like on the other side, because you're just never off the stuff for much, for very long days. You're not even, you know. So we just try and get them to focus 30, 60, 90.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's a...
Are your books a guide to help people get started?
Yeah, we've got a book
sugar
on
detox.
The website. Yeah, absolutely. We've
and
got
what
a
is
book
your website?
The website? It's sugaraddiction.com.
Okay.
Sugaraddiction.com. And just / book, or it's right there on the front page, and you get a free copy of it. It's a digital copy. I mean, you can buy it on Amazon, the paperback if you want, but yeah, it's free on the website.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there anything else?
We want to get this.
Anything else you'd like to impart?
Yeah, we do have a 30-day challenge. It's really been exciting. We have a online app where it's on your phone, and every day I come into your inbox with a video between 10 and 20 minutes, and then we've got other videos there, and we've got.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's been the most successful thing we've ever done. That has been because you get with, you know, a group of people. You get with a group of people, both in the forums and the daily Zoom meetings, where you can just plug in and talk to somebody who's been, you know, walked in your moccasins kind of thing. And, it's the 30-day challenge. It's a lot of fun, too, actually. Honestly, folks have a good time. We've got about just shy of 7,000 people now in a private forum group, and we have an anniversary, two or three every single day, 30, 60, 90 a year, you know.
Wow.
People, they're succeeding. So
that
is great. It's getting exciting. Yeah,
very.
It's getting exciting. Thanks. Yeah, no, it's getting exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking to see that. You know, most of our folks are.
Well, I think you're doing great work.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Really great work. So, listeners, I've been talking with Michael Collins, and he has a website called sugaraddiction.com. You can pretty much find whatever you need there. And then if you want a printed copy of his free book that's located there, you can buy it off of Amazon. And then if you're interested in any of his programs, You can also reach him through the website?
Yeah, sugaraddiction.com, sure.
Okay. They can send an email to you?
Yeah, they can always reach me at mike@sugaraddiction.com, sure.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for being here. You've given us a lot to think about.
No, I've enjoyed it. This is great. Keep up the good work. The more health podcasters and radio show hosts we have, the better we're going to be, right?
Well, if we can enrich just one life, it's totally worth it to me.
Exactly. I agree. I agree with that philosophy for sure.
So take care. Continue on with your great work, Michael Collins.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That wraps up our show for today. We'll be back again next week. We always have fantastic guests and fantastic information. Until then, please be well. Bye-bye.
We celebrate our listeners worldwide and invite you to contact Denise at www.healthmedianow.com with any questions you may have, and follow her on Twitter at Health Media Now and Facebook at Health Media Now. For those interested in an advertising campaign on her show, contact Lisa at knowledgeworkspub.com. Be sure to visit gotcancernowwhat.com for information on Denise Messenger's award-winning book, Got Cancer? Now What?